Alrighty, good morning, live 6 o'clock in the a.m. on a Friday. We're into September. We're into spring. Simpiwe is filled with the joys of spring. I see like lots of floral shit going on here. It's very good. Very good. I love it. All right. So I hope your day's off to a good start. If it isn't yet, we'll try to make it so. Have a lot of cool stuff happening this morning. We're going to have Ben come in a little later on with the sport. We've got Brendan Matthews coming in, one of the doctors, a new show that we'll be launching on Monday. Yep. It's about time we got some good medical advice on this show.
Yes.
The show we'll tell you about, it started off as kind of like a men's health clinic type thing, but it's turned into a all-round everybody bring us your problems, the doctors will try to solve them type of situation. And who doesn't have medical problems? So just be honest with them. They'll help treat you. So that's the whole idea. And we'll be doing that. There are also some other new shows that are coming to the Real Network soon. So stick around for those. We've got so much to do today. I want to get straight into it. First of all, any big plans for the weekend, Sims?
No, I don't think so.
That's different. Usually you do. No?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's quiet for now. I'll probably have plans later today. Like, that's how my life goes sometimes.
Sure. Already?
Yeah.
Wow. Stuff's happening. Well, Carl says, oh, wow, we can hear you. You're really September 11th, the September the 11th. Yeah, the producers are now referring to it as the day we do not speak of.
Oh.
On the show, because Wednesday technically was just such a disaster. So we decided to call it. Yeah. That was a mess. I think Gareth deserves a small accolade. It's not been an easy week show-wise. Luckily, the comments section is here to rescue. But Gareth did play his part. We appreciate you. Well, you guys, I mean, like, you know, without the comments section, there isn't really a show. I'm slowly handing over to the comments section. Probably somewhere in the next 3 to 6 months, I won't even have to do the show. We'll just switch on the comments and that'll be everything.
They'll be like, let's go.
That's all anybody will need. Okay. So lots to talk about this week. I mentioned on Wednesday's show when we started it, even though we didn't end up finishing it, that there's this brilliant woman who does these Kamala Harris impersonations.
Ooh.
Have you seen her?
Okay, I can't do
it. Almost, you had the right tone. We did it, Joe. Yeah, we did it, Joe. It's like you've almost got to. It's like the weirdest inflection. It sort of sounds like she's whining, even though she's trying not to sound like she's whining.
Oh, she's trying to be cool.
But I'll tell you one thing, because I did watch the debate, which is not old news, but I mean, we didn't get a chance to talk about it on Wednesday. She does take good direction. Like, they've told her, don't cackle. You know how she's always laughing at everything? Like, everything's a big joke?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, people in America are, like, struggling with inflation. They can't afford their properties. They can't buy food. Haitian immigrants are eating their pets, according to Donald Trump. I mean, this is what they're saying, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll get into the whole fake news thing a little later on. But Kamala Harris, she stopped laughing. She actually took direction. She didn't laugh. You could see she was, like, holding it in, but at least she can take direction. At very least. So have you got that impersonated for me? Take a look at this.
Where are you guys? It's 6 hours before the debate. Hair and makeup is still not here. Now, this is unacceptable. When this is over, you're all fired. Bring the neck mask. Have you been able to reach Waltz? I haven't been able to track him down since the beginning of the passage of time. Like, look, when he calls you, tell him to call me. Immediately. Tim, where the fuck are you? what are you always doing at the stables?
We're just missing
I need you to be here. We need to practice. This is serious, all right? We can only cheat so much. It has to be believable.
I love it. I think she's amazing. And she's got that voice down. Oh, Tim, where are you? That sort of sound. She also held back on the laughing. So I'm very impressed with that. So there is a lot going on at the moment. Shame, I heard this morning, and I say shame. I mean, we're always sad when we hear news about, like, you know, someone who has been important in South Africa who died, Pravin Gordhan. I can't say I'm sad, but your condolences to the family, I suppose. You know, apparently he was ailing towards the end. Well, I mean, what can I say? He was a minister. What did he do for us? Let's think about it. First, he was at SARS.
Yes.
And we all love SARS, don't we?
Oh, they're so great.
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of planet you'd be living on where people would go, oh, I'm so sad to hear about the SARS, ex-SARS commissioner, you know, having a rough time or dying. There's no planet like that. The other thing is, he was Minister of Public Enterprises for a long time.
Yeah,
when last did you fly SAA?
Ooh.
Just saying. State capture, he blamed everybody else. It was always everyone else's fault. It wasn't him. But that guy was there for some absolutely destructive, terrible things that happened. And obviously, you know, you give your condolences. It's sad for his family. But for the rest of us in South Africa, it's like a sigh of relief. I'm going to say it even if you aren't. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll say it. I just, you know what I really hate? It's like people who say nice things after some horrible, like terrible person who's done nothing good in their lives goes, and then all the people go, oh, well, we've got to say nice things. You know, like at the funeral.
Oh, yes.
Where the opposite of the Rakhadis who get up there. Yeah, and they get up and they go, oh, you know, she was such a sweetheart. She always did everything for the poor, and she always helped other, you know, other old ladies across the street. And she was a real lovely person to her grandchildren and all that shit. Meanwhile, this old woman was like horrible. She'd kick cats and she'd swear at the homeless, and you know. But when she's dead, no, we must be nice about her. So there we go. The latest news. I did see this from Duduzile Zuma earlier in the week. I think
she
kind of
have to say.
So have you got that? That tweet that she put up, Duduzile, this is it's kind of how I felt. I was like, she said, we pray for his speedy recovery. Obviously, that didn't happen because Dudu Zuma's prayers are not very good. But we pray for his speedy recovery as he still has a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
That was what she said. All right.
Probably she's like, ah, oh, damn it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I just, I can't do the whole holier than thou when someone dies, just say nice things. I can't do it. The other big story this week, and we'll talk to Brendan. I know Suhail, one of the other doctors on our show, is going to be addressing this in their show. Their first show starts next week. But there was this big furore about Tom London.
Yes, I saw that.
Who went to Helen Joseph Hospital. And I mean, to be perfectly frank, I didn't pay that much attention to it. But this guy was in Helen Joseph Hospital. He said it was an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
Terrible nurses. That's him. That's Tom London. Yeah. But when I saw the picture, and it happened to be on the same day as Clint Eastwood's 93rd birthday.
Oh, my word.
Show them the picture of Clint Eastwood's 93rd birthday and then go back to Tom London. See that? That look like Tom London? That's Clint Eastwood, 94th. Sorry. There's Tom London, who's not 94. Okay, he's in hospital, so he's been having a rough time too.
Pass off his brothers.
Yeah, and there's 94-year-old Clint Eastwood, who frankly looks a bit younger than Tom London. So Helen Joseph Hospital must be awful. That's what he looks like. Yeah, how's that, huh? And happy birthday, Clint. 94, Clint Eastwood.
Hectic.
Yeah, I could cycle through these photos the whole time. I can't tell the difference. I'm struggling.
They look like guys from Brakpan. Like this ordinary folks,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure. I don't know what's happened there. One of them has aged very well. The other one's aged very badly. We won't say who's who.
Sure.
Can I also just bring up that there have been a lot of celebrities at the US Open. Of course, this was the week, since we mentioned Kamala earlier. This is the week that, surprise, 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 Kamala Harris was endorsed by Taylor Swift. Did you expect Taylor Swift to say anything else? Was there anyone on planet Earth who was going, I'm pretty sure she's going to endorse Donald Trump? Anyone?
So, just seeing some of the celebrities that have already endorsed Harris.
Yeah, everyone. All the celebrities. Like, the only celebrities Donald Trump's got at this point is like two or three country singers and one or two washed up sitcom stars, you know, from the 80s.
I'm just not surprised at this point. I'm just like, because I was more surprised at the fact that she had Megan Thee Stallion performing at one of her rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan Thee Stallion's like this hip hop artist who promotes twerking.
Yeah.
And then she is like, hot girl shit, like twerking. And then everyone's just like serious and like, okay, we at a Harris.
I know who, I know who should have got an endorsement or who should have given their endorsement is you. We put Simpiwe in the studio. She's going to be so embarrassed by this. It's good, though. I mean, like, we wouldn't show it if it was terrible and embarrassing. Well, maybe a little. Here's Simpiwe's rap debut. Just in case, you know, in case there's a U.S. president or a candidate for an election somewhere who's looking for somebody to endorse them, this is your person. We'll show you the video. You were just messing around. Did you know they were recording?
I did not know. So we have recorded a show, guys. And then I was like, oh, I could do that. And then I literally was like, this is my song. And I was just like, oh.
No, we are recording we're recording a couple of music shows that are going to come to the Real Network soon. So stick around for that. And we may just have to give Simpiwe one, just judging by her performance. Like,
and I did not realize the guys were recording. Now I know that when you are in studio,
anytime you walk in here, there's like, going to be a camera on you.
There's a camera and the mics are on. And yeah, now I live to regret it, I guess, because I just thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well. Oh, you can't play audio. Oh, shit, Cardi B will... well, just show the video. Just show, like, Simpiwe looks like a natural in front of this microphone. Look at her. Look at her. She's going crazy. Look at you. It's a microphone hanging there in front of her. She's giving it her all. Look at this. And this is just like a dress rehearsal, by the way. It's time for you to get your own show. And you were singing Cardi B?
I was like...
You're rapping.
Yeah, I was like... Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope your hoes don't wait and cheap.
Then there we go.
Pay my mama's bills.
There we go. Me. Beautiful. I love it. So we have real talent in the building today.
Yeah.
All right. There wouldn't be a show without us having to insult and demean Gen Z. And today is not going to be any different. Simpiwe has a story for us about a Gen Z worker who says jobs should only go from 9 until 1 each day. You know, I don't know that there's ever been a generation in human history that hates work as much as Gen Z or that thinks it's a punishment. Like, what is your life if you're not working? And I don't mean that that has to be everything. Mm-hmm. All of us, I should hope, have some purpose and meaning in our lives, right? Life is not a big punishment, and the major part of that punishment is work. If that's how you feel, obviously... life's going to be horrific. And it doesn't matter how many holidays or how much money you have or all the stuff that people supposedly work for so they can have those, you know, one or two holidays a year.
Yeah.
Like, part of the fun is work. We just saw you at work rapping your ass off. There's a way to make every job fun.
Yes.
I mean, there are doctors who are currently taking disgusting organs out of people.
Yes.
That have diseases and things growing out of them that shouldn't be there. But even doctors enjoy their work. Mm-hmm. So what is wrong with Gen Z? What is wrong with Gen Z? Why are you people so fucking lazy? Huh?
They're so soft.
So
soft. But this particular Gen Z is, I don't know. I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I'm coming or going with this. So their whole notion is, non-works after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? They usually stretch out their work until 5, and they'll make sure that, like, the 8-hour work schedule is stretched out. Mm-hmm. So if you squeeze it all in, people would be more focused and they'd get all the important things done much more faster. To some extent, I'm like, I hear your logic. I see where you're coming from. But the reality is there's other jobs that can't. I mean, imagine your doctor just leaving you. No. Like, oh, it's 1 o'clock. Well, I'm done. It's after lunch. Gotta go. Can't attend to you.
And it seems to be like a bit of a theme this morning, but doctors are a good example, right? There are doctors all over South Africa who are working, like, sometimes more than 12, 18-hour shifts. And I wouldn't want to be the patient at their 17th hour when they're, like, starting to fall asleep with that scalpel in their hand.
Imagine.
That's not great, but they work.
Yes.
And you work so that you can have, like, what's wrong with describing yourself when someone asks you who you are by also describing what you do? I mean, like, that surely is something you're proud of.
Yes.
Unless you really shit at it.
Yeah.
Or you're a politician and you're just generally embarrassed just, like, about what you do.
So I think this is, like, my philosophy when it comes to work. bad decisions are made after 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I can live with that. Like, no meeting should be held after 1 o'clock on a Friday. Like, what are we doing? We're not going to make any right decisions. Other than that, like, let's keep it going and flowing. Like, if you can finish your work at 2 o'clock, great. But some people need until five.
Well, there are these companies with these rules. And this is also where, you know, like, work doesn't have to be the worst thing. And yes. And sometimes people make it worse. Like, there are companies that insist that people stick around until 5 o'clock on a Friday. And I'm like, they're sharpening a pencil or going for their 18th coffee of the day or like literally going to read their text messages in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because they're not interested. So why don't you just let them leave early and rather say to them, you can make up that time by working late on a Thursday or on a Tuesday. Why don't you come in extra early or whatever else? Let people work around that a little bit.
Yes.
Right? So, if you can. I mean, there's some jobs where you can't.
Thank you. You know? But that's all I'm saying is that we don't need to change the whole, like, company structure just to accommodate Gen Z.
So you kind of agree with this Gen Z person.
I see where they're coming from. Like, I'm like, my Fridays, yes, I want to leave early.
Yeah.
So definitely after 1 o'clock, I'm not trying to be at work. But in J&J, I'm just like, guys, work needs to be done. Because they're also the same ones that want to get paid like $50 million for an entry job. Like, they're also the same people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, yeah. No, like, they want to be the CEO.
Like, after 1 year of work experience. So it's just like, guys, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
No.
This is the balance. Like, you can get one day where you get to leave early, and then the rest of the 4 days you work hard, or you know what I mean? That's a good balance in my humble opinion.
Raven says, work should be measured by your outputs, not the hours you work. And the more experience you have, the easier it will be for some. I completely agree with that. Some very smart comments, actually. Mm-hmm. Unexpectedly. Mapelo says, I now have an 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock job, and time flies, man. 8 to 1. I wouldn't be able to finish my work, yo. See, that's also true. Like, yes. Some people can't get stuff done because it is like processes and, you know, administration and all that kind of shit. So this doesn't apply to everybody. And I don't know your job. Simpiwe doesn't know your job. Mm-hmm. If you can't get away before 4 or 5 in the afternoon, then I suppose you have to do it. And thank God you are. Especially if it's, you know, something important that the rest of us rely on, but we don't know we rely on. Congo Chris says the first 3 hours on a Monday and the last 3 hours on a Friday. Those we can do without. Yo, first 3 hours on a Monday, people are acclimatizing, hey?
Yo,
doesn't matter how much rest they got over the weekend, they walk in like this. Monday.
They just realize all the problems that they actually have. Like, I need to deal with Susan. I need to send
that
this.
That fucking Susan.
And then they're like, fucking hell. I need to play nice and be like really, really proper. Because they probably also been talking shit about their colleagues during the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, oh, can't say that. Oh, I have to hold
it in. I bumped into somebody this Monday in the lift here. And as they got in the lift, they were like, it's Monday morning, right? 9 o'clock. We've already done a show. My day's moving. This guy gets into the lift. So I'm like, hey, how are you doing? He goes, I'm tired. I was like, what? Yeah, I'm so tired. I said, but it's Monday. It's 9 o'clock. He's like, I need another Sunday after my Sunday. I'm like, yeah, okay. Our director stands at the gate from 2 p.m. until 4 to ensure nobody leaves early. That's Lito. Lito, who do you work for? Adolf Hitler? What a job. Oh, by the way, one of the ways people waste time at the office, just have you got that video of that irritating person online who says that you should use the bathroom at work as much as you can?
Oh, my word.
This is exactly the opposite, by the way, of my philosophy. It's like you should never do any of that stuff unless it's absolutely necessary. I mean, peeing, sure, you have to pee a couple of times a day. Nothing else. It's completely unnecessary, right? You shouldn't do any of that except in your own house. Keep your life tidy.
Yes.
Right?
So what does this prison say?
Listen to this idiot. Just watch this.
Queensland Health are letting you know it is okay to poo at work and are trying to raise awareness around the dangers of holding it in. People can go to extreme lengths not to poo at work. There's even whole guides dedicated to how to do it, and it can be really anxiety inducing. So if this is you, here is your ultimate guide to pooing at work. If you get shy, remember that timing is everything. So try and pick your moment to go into the bathroom when there's no one else in there, so you can hopefully poo in peace. There are co-workers in the bathroom. Just wait it out until you're alone. alone, but please do not make small talk with somebody in the store next to you, because they might also be trying to poo and are feeling anxious about it and you're making it worse for them. So if you're waiting, just zip it. Do not forget that a flush is your friend. It's good to hide a little sound, good to get rid of a little smell, and putting down toilet paper can also help muffle sound, so do not sleep on that. If you have a particularly busy work bathroom, or maybe there's just not that many toilets, do a recce to another floor or find another toilet nearby so you don't have to worry about running into your colleagues. It'll just be strangers, hopefully. If you are still finding it hard to get over your poo at work anxiety, which I get, just remember that everyone does it. Everyone.
All right. Well, I don't know what to make of that other than, like, did you see the background of the rainbows and unicorns? And
this is what
she wants the world to know. This is what she wants the world to think about when they think about her. Is like, she is the expert on pooing at work. It's very important.
She gave us a very detailed breakdown on how to poo at work. Like, walk in.
Do a recce.
Like, ma'am, no.
Flushing is good. Like, what, were you raised by animals that you don't know that flushing is good? Unbelievable.
I don't agree. I don't know. Like, we need to ban that kind of content.
You had to walk in during a conversation about pooing at work.
Why is it that often I walk in here, you guys are talking about shitting? Nice to see James has prepared the microphones.
As always. Yeah, as always. All right. So the reason I decided that this was necessary is because people will do anything to waste time at work, especially if they hate their jobs. They'll make too many coffees, they'll go outside, they'll sit in their car. I see people sometimes in like these office parks, and you park your car to go for an appointment, and there's someone sitting in the car next to you, but it's 10 a.m. and they're sitting in there having a conversation on their phone, and they probably work in, or they're meant to be working in that building.
I'd take that over the pooing. I'd take that. Like, go to your car.
Sorry, guys. I obviously missed the first few minutes here. Are they actually pooing or they're pretending to poo?
No, they're really pooing.
Like, they're
so are they now making themselves through bad diets?
So some people will use the bathroom as a place to scroll through their phones, to not be among their colleagues, especially if they hate them.
Yeah.
It's amazing the lengths people will go to.
That's what Superior does every Thursday when I'm here. She just goes missing for like hours.
No, Superior walked in. Let me be fair.
Don't lie.
Superior walked in yesterday and she like says hi to a couple of people. She says, how's it, Ben? Across the table.
Yeah, I get profiled quickly, hey? How's it?
How's it, Ben? It was very good. How's it, Ben? How's it going?
Yeah, good, guys. Very good week this week. Yeah. Going super well. And tomorrow, go to Bulgaria, which is
very exciting,
massively Bulgaria. Exciting.
What do we know about Bulgaria?
Not enough. I know enough that I know I'm going there just to go have a lot of fun in a place that does look a little bit backward with pockets of nice.
So former communist country, Eastern Europe. Ben found something that disturbed me a little bit in an article that I sent him about Bulgaria. He highlighted it and sent it back to me. It's like, you mustn't pretend to be too happy or actually be too happy. Oh. They don't like very happy people. They think it's suspicious.
Yeah.
That you know something that they should know.
Well, suspicious and arrogant.
Yeah.
And disrespectful to the actual person who's having a shit day.
Correct.
And you must almost respect their shit days because that's actually how you're meant to be.
Who hurt you? Like, what happened?
Well,
we're going to find out.
We're going to come back with a full report on Bulgaria. And so we'll be doing the show live on Monday morning from Sofia in Bulgaria.
Oh, nice.
And then on Wednesday as well. Friday, you're going to handle things because I'm going to be on a plane. So next Friday, Simpiwa's show.
You know, this is like the Springboks, huh? We just got such a big squad. We put people in on the big games.
We can afford to.
No problems if Simpiwa do it. I mean, my show next week has been done without me completely.
In fact,
off the reins.
So we even have someone here who we're thinking of replacing Ben with, or replacing Ben eventually. It's a mutual friend of Ben and mine.
What the fuck? The conversation just jumped to that.
No, we got to have a plan. So we were thinking about like, what can we do if, Ben suddenly
gets stuck in Bulgaria.
Stuck in Bulgaria, or you end up in Helen Joseph Hospital, or you endorse the wrong U.S. presidential candidate.
You know what, guys, the more you talk, the more I'm actually behind this now. I get it. Life's treacherous.
There has to be a backup for everyone. Yes. Simpiwa is the backup if something terrible happens to me, right?
Yeah.
So you got to find one for you.
Bit of a like-for-like replacement day, isn't it?
I don't see any difference. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I can also be grumpy.
How's it?
How's it been? All right.
I can also be grumpy. That's the first thing you go to.
Seriously. Ben and I got a friend called Dylan. He's a lawyer in Pretoria, but that's not, I mean, lawyer in Pretoria. That could be any one of 100,000 people. Yeah, just move up a little here.
So just move up.
And he actually decided he wanted to come and spend the morning just seeing what we do to prove that we don't just, you know, talk nonsense for a living, which actually is what we do.
Oh, yeah.
And we said, no, come in and be a part of the show. So since welcome, Bill.
You've just been speaking nonsense, eh?
Well, that's exactly right. So we've proven nothing.
It generally gets better when I get here. This is what I found.
Oh, yeah. Listen to you, right. Ben.
Look, I'm trying to show irreplaceable I am to be
here. On top, like.
All right, so we're going to do the sport, and we'll see how quickly Dill catches up and whether or not he has things to say about any of the sport, too. I mean, we were all meant to go and watch the rugby once. You were the only one who ended up there, Ben.
No, it was only going to be me. The two of you were always going to flake, you in particular. I found your replacement, my mate. My mate Darby in Silver Lakes, he's your replacement.
Darby.
Again, not so much a like for like, but you know what? He steps up. When it comes to game day, he steps up and he knows how to drink a brandy and coke.
All right. What do we got in the sport?
So it's not the biggest sporting weekend because obviously there's no rugby championships. There is Currie Cup though. So the Currie Cup's been happening, I wouldn't say in the shadows, that's a bit disparaging, but the Currie Cup, of course, is our second sort of tier where these Oaks are. Yeah. Western Province, my team have been dog shit.
Yeah.
Griquas were even better than them. Then the Pumas not so great. So those kind of teams fell away along with the Griffins who never had a chance. So this weekend we've got the favorites, the best of the best. And that will obviously be the Lions. They're taking on the Cheetahs. So that'll be Saturday at 2:30. And then we've got the Blue Bulls versus the Natal Sharks. Now the Sharks actually beat the Bulls last week.
Didn't you almost end up playing for the Bulls?
I'd like to claim so, but not. I was in and around the cusps, but.
Okay. Yeah, don't be all humble. I mean, like, Ben claims to be a pro golfer.
Identify well, as one big difference.
Because he's won a couple of amateur championships.
Well, I was of the impression he was a professional golfer.
See, I identify well.
Oh, well, not good enough.
So, yeah, so it's always going to be, we said it for a while now, it's going to be a Bulls-Lions final. But the Sharks have got, they've got so many good players. And last week at the Shark Tank, they actually won. But now at Loftus, we all know it's a bit more difficult to win there, and it's going to be a big day in Pretoria. So obviously, Gareth, we can't go to that.
No.
Which is a massive disappointment.
And yeah, you can tell how sad I am.
Well, hey? Yeah. So look, the Lions are going to give the Cheetahs, I think, about 12 to 15 points. And I think the Bulls will sneak it against the Sharks because the Sharks, now that Sio Khaleesi's back, they might be more excited about being themselves again.
Right.
So that's your Currie Cup for the weekend. Premier League, also not the biggest games. We've got the big London derby, the North London derby, which is very exciting. So my
but hang on, before you move on, JP says, what the hell happened to the Lions? How did we become so good? Can they give Ten Hag the secrets?
Well, see, the Lions became good under Johan Ackermann, and then they made two Super Rugby finals.
Okay.
Then they lost a few players. They went to shit again. And then this is kind of them on the up. But becoming so good in Currie Cup is kind of like me saying, I'm going to make the best sports points on the show today. Not a huge amount. Like, it's not something that I'm going to brag the rest of the world about because I'm expected to do so. The Lions have got maybe two or three Oaks that go into bok duty. They've had a good run with the squad because when you've got players all over the place like the Sharks or Western Province or the Bulls, it's quite hard to have momentum.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Lions, they've got more controlled squads.
Okay.
So they've always been good at that. And then that's what the Lions do. They have this steady growth. They're really good. And then they just sort of fall because good players then fuck off.
Well, I mean, they also retain most of their players when the rest of the teams go off to play international rugby.
That's it.
And yeah, it's unfortunate. That's exactly why they went up and down is because they had such a phenomenal squad. Most of them got poached by the overseas guys. And now they're back on the upward trend. So.
So in order to give Ten Hag the secrets, no. Man United, okay.
Shame. We won't talk about them. They've been in for a really rough time, especially on your show, your sports show on Sandile, the bounce.
Man United, you guys, are they not used to losing at this point?
Man United do not deserve Sandile Shangasi. They do not deserve him. He's just so dedicated.
He's such a loyal guy.
He rocks up. Huh? Him and Chiefs, they just don't deserve him. So this weekend's big highlight in the Premier League is going to be the North London Derby. So that's my team, Arsenal, giving Spurs six of the best trousers down.
Right.
Now, why I know this is going to happen because
you're even wearing the Arsenal.
Exactly. Rocked up, game faces on. But Arsenal are winning the league this year, but they've had a bit of a rocky start in that they drew to Brighton. They beat the Wolves, I think. So they beat Aston Villa, which was a really big deal. But then that draw against Brighton was just before the international break. So all the momentum's kind of gone. Declan Rice got sent off. But now Spurs, they're going to take it this weekend. They're going to take a picking. So much so that if you go to Superbets right now, there's this really cool bet. So there's a thing called a price boost segment. And it's on the left-hand side on all the sort of sports things. And they pick certain games.
Okay.
And then you get like boosted odds on certain things. So if you bet on Arsenal to score first, obviously a better team that will, and to win, 2.7 on the odds. So a hypothetical 100 gets you 270.
Simpiu is a real gambler. You into sports betting, Dil?
Not much, but I think I might take that one on.
Well, I mean, it's not the most...
You should listen to Ben. Seems like a no-brainer.
I think Ben should open a segment giving betting advice.
Oh, I do. Thursdays.
He doesn't watch your show, Ben.
Mutual friend.
Oh, great. Yeah.
But I mean, like, for it's you've known through betting advice and tips that I've given you, which obviously are not financial advice, 2.7 is decent odds. And for Arsenal to score first and to win, I think that's pretty good. So other games to look out for, Southampton are going to be beating Man United. Sorry, drawing, essentially losing. That's a 1:30 on Saturday. Liverpool versus Nottingham Forest. So that's what James is going to be doing. And then Man City versus Brentford at 4. And Chelsea versus Bournemouth. So not a great weekend for that. The Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Oh, very important. Okay. Now, I'm glad you brought that
in
up.
The Baku street circuit. It's amazing. Like, you think Azerbaijan, you think men who always look about 120, but they're actually 35 years old. You think goats, you think that kind of stuff. And you think women under harsh disciplinary rules.
Yeah.
And you'd be right. But then the Baku street circuit is like, that's like the Monaco of that place. Hey, look there.
Oh, look. What a lovely place.
That is Azerbaijan, man.
That's their city hall in the background.
And that's a summer look. That's a summer look from a local designer in Azerbaijan. But basically, like the derelict campaign from Zoolander, I think, came from the back streets of Azerbaijan.
But that's lovely.
But the Grand Prix is quite something. It's beautiful. That city looks amazing. The street circuit is incredible. And because of the nature of the street circuit, like Singapore is quite finicky. We know Monaco is just... It's just a shit racetrack. It's a lovely place, but it's a shit racetrack.
Sure.
Whereas Baku, you've got these long stretches. You've got these intricate turns. So if you're really good in the straights, amazing. If you're great at cornering and chicaning, also amazing. So no doubt, it produces a more ultimate sort of winner. So Red Bull's done really well the last few years. The last 3 years, they've won. But now, as we know, McLaren are the best team. Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris, they are the best. So it's all about who beats them. But Charles Leclerc had a pole there for the last 3 years, I think it has been. So he's also been a dark horse. Mm. His car's just been upgraded. He just won in Monza. So I think it's, again, going to be one of those brilliantly competitive Grand Prix. Because like a year ago, or even before that, all we'd say is Max Verstappen's going to win. Mercedes might get a podium. Now it's like, fuck, four guys could win. But legit, guys.
That's cool. There are a couple of comments here that are quite funny. Congo Chris says, who told Ben it's bring your son to work day? And then someone else said, we've got to hire you, Dil, just so we can get you some new jeans because it looks like those ones are half off.
Dil, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that one's older. Hey? I mean, every second middle-aged man tells me my jeans were half price.
Middle-aged man.
Yeah, that's the style.
Some peers on your side.
Dil, I mean, like the jokes are sometimes better than the comments. Just a rough day there. Fuck you, Chris.
This is a good question from Durban Dope. How the hell does Azerbaijan have a Grand Prix and we don't?
Because they've probably got some sort of natural gas running through an endless pipeway.
That is embarrassing.
Well, the gas... Well,
those people can't even spell Azerbaijan.
Sampira, can you spell Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Well, you know how to spell, right? You say the letter. Can you?
Just oh, like... wow, look there.
See, that's Azerbaijan. There
those
we go.
Those children.
That child, that's his moustache.
That... He's 11.
He's a grown man. Is that what you're saying?
That child with the moustache is 11.
And you see that girl on the far side there?
The yes.
Kid, those were kids on the right. Azerbaijan, what a place. I mean, they're selling like salted turnips there. Look, there is more football of a local variety this weekend. The PSL is back, okay? So we know okay. That's
is it exciting, though?
Yes, it is actually, because normally, just like Red Bull always used to win, Sundowns always used to win.
Yeah.
Sundowns didn't score a goal in the MTN 8 semis. Mm-hmm. Two legs, no goals. They've got a new coach. The general thought is that they're going to start quite slowly. They've got the Tshwane Derby straight away, SuperSport United this weekend. That's going to be the biggest game in the PSL this weekend. The bigger teams are kind of playing Tuesday and Wednesday. But I really do think, I've already put money on it. SuperBets is going to 5X my money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good tip. Because I think Pirates, are going to win the league. I think Pirates are going to win the league this year. I really do. So they will be playing Chippa United. I think it's on Monday. No, they're playing on Wednesday. So, I mean, it's Saturday, and then there's a whole bunch of games midweek, and the Champions League starts next week midweek as well. But the PSL starts. The last thing I want to talk about for the sport is UFC 306.
Ah, yeah.
Okay.
Funny enough, the last time I think we all went out in Pretoria together was with Drikus.
It was, yeah.
The last time I saw both of you in Wales.
It was probably before he...
It was before he became
the echelons of...
Yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago when I could still get hold of him. That was before he even fought Darren Till.
Yeah. Now you can't. Now you can have his number, but it doesn't mean you're going to get through to him.
Yeah, that was before Darren Till. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Guys, we should actually hang out more often.
Yeah.
So you guys need to venture out to Pretoria. I mean...
So UFC 306. The card's not amazing. It's 306. It's at the Sphere. So you know in Las Vegas...
That incredible giant place. Yeah.
It's the first sporting event that's going to be taking place in the Sphere. But this is where the UFC... They get a bit weird. So they go, oh, it's all about Mexico, but it's the most expensive event in Las Vegas, sponsored by Saudi Arabians. There are obviously going to be Mexicans.
Saudis are everywhere. Shut.
Riyadh season. There we go.
But
So Dana White basically went to a YouTube concert there and had the time of his life. He's like, we're doing this. So as you would normally see, and if you're just listening through the podcast, this is going to just, you know, theater of the mind kind of moment here. The octagon is in the middle of the stadium and the seating is all around equidistance. Whereas the Sphere, the octagon is against the one wall, and then the whole screen, as you see there on the screen, is behind it.
That's phenomenal.
So you all sit actually in one direction looking at the fights.
God, that must be such a weird... Well, can you imagine being in there and like taking mushrooms?
while watching more combat.
You're going to feel like you got clapped in.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna be like, oh!
Yeah. Well, what's the thinking here? Are they going to be projecting that all over the Sphere?
It'll be internal, obviously. So the thinking is still that the UFC has to do everything at the forefront of sports. So there's been no sporting events in here. Like, you can't get many sporting events in here. It's quite small. But for fighting, it's perfect.
Hmm.
So farting is obviously always at the forefront.
Rot.
So what's going to happen is that when people come out, there's going to be sort of like movies that get played around the fight. Like the big preview of the fight, which is cool. But if any of these oaks drop out, they cannot re-render any images within 7 days, 7 to 12 days.
Sure.
So if any of these guys miss weight, get injured, whatever, they'll walk out to nothing because they can't put other screens in. They've rendered everything out already. So it's got some challenges to it. But like I said, it's not the greatest card. The main event, though, is going to be quite special. Sean O'Malley, who is now going to be into his third title fight. He's had one defense. He's fighting Merab Dvashvili. As you can see, Dvashvili on the right there looks like Quacker Smith.
Yeah,
He's such a hard bastard. This oak is such a machine, but he's also very small.
And they got the chicks as well, huh?
Yeah, well spotted there, Gareth. we've got the Mexican woman, Grasso, will be taking on Shevchenko. They've fought before, and Grasso's just been better. But Shevchenko is kind of like a bit of a goat.
That's nice.
She's Russian.
Yeah.
She's got tattoos of guns on her, so they call her the bullet.
Yeah.
So quite hardcore. But getting back to the main fight. So Sugar Sean O'Malley, phenomenal striker. He really is like the next generation Conor McGregor in this sort of realm. That Merab Dvashvili, he's rougher than a goat's knee. But it's going to be difficult for him to beat O'Malley because O'Malley creates quite a lot of space, got a lot of reach. So Dvashvili is going to have to eat quite a lot of punches just to close the distance in order to get the mauling that his country knows. He's from Georgia.
Yeah, well,
so Georgia. I still think that Sugar Sean's going to win this one. He's just too much of a precise striker. And I think his takedown defense is good enough.
Okay. Well, Audrey in the comments says, I'm going to Mur Abur finals tomorrow. Oh. That's as close to the UFC as I'll get for now. Have you heard of this?
Yes. What am I? So Cameron.
Mur Abur.
So Cameron, who's been on the show, that's his production. That's his thing.
Okay.
And what happens? Mur Abur is basically, he's gone out there and he's found 8 or 10 Bura. And they're all going to moor each other.
Really?
Literally.
This is brandy induced.
No, like he's recruited these oaks from various farms. It's on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Moor and Boot. And
it's like wearing khaki shorts and everything.
It's a full show, guys. So basically, he finds these farmers who've never fought before properly.
Yeah.
And now he trains them in the arts of mixed martial arts. Also, it culminates into them mooring each other.
That's amazing.
At the end.
I could see that for free, though. Any night I go out in Pretoria.
It's not the same, guys.
That's right. Why though, I mean,
we know that. We know that's
not
perfect.
The same, guys. All of you with your cuck jokes like, oh, Drukas is the world champ, but he's the fifth best in Boxburg.
Shut up.
It is a professional sport. It is incredible what these guys put into this. Do not discredit them with last year's cuck jokes. So what Cameron's done is he just found these oaks and now have fight skills. And then they're all going to get Lekker afterwards there.
Those Buddha are going to moor each other.
Yeah.
Oaks. This looks like that's a jewel.
But guys, this is our country. This is culture right here.
Right.
Come here with your castle. So
we have Mr. Two-tone fellies. Over
there. Two-tone fellies and competitive
Look
fighting.
At them. They even dress like Buddha.
Yeah. Then we have who? Like what?
And where
what?
Does this take place?
Well, at the Heartfelt Arena. Again, Pretoria.
On the concrete floor.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no,
they'll obviously put some
millions. No canvas, nothing.
They'll put some millions
concrete
down
floor. Couple of Bronnevain and Cokes in.
Guys, this is the spine of our nation here.
yo, guys, I'm actually worried. I don't think we should.
It's funny
be
that you mentioned it. You guys obviously watched the Drukas fight.
Yeah.
Where they had the guy to come in and translate from Afrikaans to English.
Yeah, exactly.
And at one point, the guy goes, we're going to have to moor him. And the translator, obviously not translating to English, goes, yeah, Drukas, you're going to have to moor him.
But what's not the way to say better is that he started off by translating Afrikaans into slower Afrikaans.
Here, Ben, are you not covering slap fighting? That thing is intense. Ooh.
Sure.
Slap fighting.
But like we said a few weeks ago, I'm not also covering your daughter's touch rugby tournament. We can't do it all.
Yeah, no, that's true. Alex says they should get a fight bonus if they don't spill the brand.
Screw you, Alex. These are professional people. They're trying hard.
But I've seen this is legit. Okay, so I know I agree with you, Ben. You can't really compare professional athletes with oaks who fight in nightclubs. But in Pretoria, at certain places, I have seen guys hold on to their drink, clap another oak, and not spill a drop.
Because that's the rule. You never spill the alcohol. That is the rule.
Bad breeding.
Is that a rule on the East Rand too?
Yes, you never spill the alcohol. Anything can happen. If I'm holding this cup and I trip, I can fall.
But
the cup has to...
I definitely disagree. I've seen a few good brandies flung.
I guess I know.
From one corner of a bar to another.
It's a fight. You're wasting good alcohol. You are wasting good alcohol.
Well, it's obviously a sort of more highbrow sort of establishment here.
That's quite a lot of sport.
Look, there's also the Solheim Cup, which is Ryder Cup for ladies, basically.
So thanks for the inclusion.
You're welcome.
Ben invented it just to be inclusive. Yeah. That's how he is. You know, Ben.
I mentioned the
when
woman...
people see Ben, they see inclusivity. That's
of
all
course they do. I'm the face of it nowadays. I mean, I mentioned the women's fighting and the Solheim Cup. Leave the best to last, Simpy.
Okay.
Do you know who's playing?
No.
Okay, we'll catch up on that next week.
All right, but I do have an interesting statistic. Waris actually tweeted this out yesterday, how much money has been made in professional basketball over the 23-24 season versus how much money has been made by women who show their vaginas on OnlyFans. Who do you think has made more money?
Yeah.
OnlyFans, easily.
Those vaginas.
You reckon?
Easily. Yeah.
The vaginas on OnlyFans.
They're prolific.
Well, here are the numbers, just so you know. We will give you a $6.6 billion 2023 OnlyFans content creators, and 4.9 billion, a measly 4.9 billion in the 2023-24 NBA combined payroll.
Just going to ask you a question now, sure. Objectively around the panel here. Who's worked harder for that money?
I would say
the OnlyFans.
Yeah, but do we want this? No. Is this what we want for humanity?
No. But the reality is
humanity
the
seems to want that.
Are working harder.
Really?
Humanity seems to want that. So I mean
no. I don't begrudge those women their 6.9. Oh, obviously there's not one woman who got 6.9.
Wow, that's
billion.
A talented vagina that if that was be, the case. Yeah.
It would be able to talk and tie a knot.
Pretty coaching LeBron.
And all kinds of things. But that's a lot of money. I mean, even if there are, you know, maybe 100,000 of these women who are seriously making money, that's quite a nice payday for each of them.
I'd love to see the stats on individual
oh, yeah.
only fan pages.
Well, they never publish them. No, they never
publish
them.
They're mocking it. Like, I know some of the celebrities, because Blac Chyna was on there, and she went from like earning a couple of millions within a few hours of starting her OnlyFans, and now she's stopped. So there's a lot of money in it. That's why I'm saying that, like, these ladies, all you need to do is, and some of them are like, I'm not even sharing anything explicit. It's just my toes, and they're making like 300-400k because people have like a toe fetish.
I haven't got the toes for that.
No, me neither.
Well, yeah, you see, know. Now you can't be on OnlyFans.
No, my girlfriend reminds me quite often. I don't have the toes for that. But another question, okay? All that money, how much is that because people just don't have kids anymore and they don't have, like, families and that kind of stuff? It's just
nowhere to put the money?
It's just they have this disposable income. They're going to go, I'm just going to look at vaginas.
Yeah.
I just don't okay, like, I really don't understand it because there's so much free stuff anyway. Like, why would you want to pay
it's
for this?
Because
there we go.
There's a barrier to entry there. What's behind the door.
Oh, exactly. So it's got to be, and it's got to be people you know?
Well, not necessarily.
Is that what people want, like famous celebrities?
No, not even. I mean, there's South African OnlyFans who are not famous and they are milking it. It's the fact that you need to kind of just be like, hey, I'm willing to show some titties, some bums, maybe some toes. Sure. And then people will buy
and you got,
into
you got,
it.
And you got to ply your trade. If that's all you got, then...
Yeah, and all I'm saying is there are people out there with no talent at all, and they're making money, millions. Yeah. They are never stressed about paying bills.
That's the bottom line here. Like, we all talk about these careers we have, like they're the reflections of our personality and my ambition and my endeavors. No, you do this because you find a way to make money.
Yeah.
So if you're getting your vagina out or your toes or whatever,
sure.
Are they that different to us?
Look at Ben being
considerate
to the...
I think I'm just too
sex workers.
To find any justification. So
am I. But they are doing fundamentally what any of us do.
I can't believe that the actual amount that's been made there. Just imagine you're the guy who invented OnlyFans, because he's getting, 10-20% of that?
Yeah. Is he though?
And
that
then
is
you
a,
remember
that
time
a good payday.
When he was like, oh no, OnlyFans is not a platform for explicit content,
yeah,
so we're going to remove all the explicit content, and then everything went shikukukuku, and he was like, no, it's fine, you guys can come back.
Yeah.
Because
he tried to do his whole, like, I'm going to be moral about this, we're going to shut this down, it's not good, this is exploiting people, blah, blah, blah. And then all the content creators complained, and then he looked at his bank balance and saw it wasn't growing as fast as it was before. He's like, morality and ethics be damned. I don't need that. I'll have the 1.2. I think his share of that is about 1.2 billion.
Having a billion must be nice.
And
Bitcoin Butch said here, if LeBron James started an OnlyFans account, he'd have more money than the woman.
I don't know.
I don't think you'd have the longevity, though, because once you've seen that pile through, I don't know, whoever. it'll have a tiny shelf life. And also, if you see LeBron James's feet, you're not going to pay money.
That's what you think.
Have you seen his feet?
No, I haven't.
Do not. If there's a Google search, you should stay away from.
Uh-oh. Like,
Azerbaijan children and
I'm getting
LeBron
worried,
James.
Ben, why are you looking at feet?
I'm getting worried too.
Yeah.
Guys, this is a universal.
It's all things sport.
Trust me.
I do want to talk
LeBron
to you about
James'
something.
Feet are like.
And I want some Pew and Dylan's input on this too. So there was a little bit of controversy. It was like a storm in a teacup about the prices for the Springbok game last week, how expensive it was, and how not everybody can afford, and we have to make it accessible. I mean, there was, I think, Dan Corder, who has a Twitter account or something, and he was saying it's very unfair that nobody can make it to the Springbok game because it's super expensive.
That guy, he looks like one of Conrad Koch's like puppets that got struck by lightning and came to life. Look, he's a character. There's no way that's an actual person.
I don't know him at all. So
he's a character because he's on that sort of strange leftist narrative thing. But people always want to be part of what's great, right? When the Springboks were getting dicked by people and they were seventh in the world, no one was talking about ticket prices. Nobody was going like, oh,
in
these
fact,
are...
you couldn't even fill Loftus's East Pavilion. No.
Stadiums didn't want them. No,
that's right.
So this whole ticket thing, it's this horrible like way that people react in this country. Like, oh, I can't be part of this, so therefore it must come to me. I can't ever go to it.
Yeah.
And yes, the ticket prices are expensive because have you any idea how much it costs to host the Springboks? Millions and millions and millions and millions. Back in the day when they were shite, stadiums didn't want to do it because they couldn't actually make money. So it would be an absolute loss for them because they would have to get at least 80% capacity to break even.
Really? Is that how high it is?
That's how
their margins are so slim.
That's like a very rough model from years back. Okay, so not everybody wants a Springboks because they're the best in the world. So people, again, they're just never honest. So another thing that goes into them being the best in the world is that they hire the best coaches, they get to pay our Oaks lots of money, and then they go, oh, but look at all the sponsors. Okay, great, but sorry we haven't been so great in the commercials so far. One guy who I know works in this field says that Saru and Box sponsorships to this point have not been commercially sound. They've just been about Hiss. So get these companies that go, let's sponsor the Box, then we get a Box, and then we can take our mates there, and it hasn't been great. Saru itself actually run at a loss. So before the British and Irish Lions series, if that series didn't happen, doors closed. No more.
Really? They don't have like a very sound business system going on there.
It's just so hard because they have to. Now, this is where it gets
you would
tricky.
Never think that, right?
This is where it gets tricky. And all these retards, sorry, that's a horrible word. All these mongoloids
who were
just so quick to go, me, give me.
Sorry, they just want free stuff.
Sorry has to pay for development rugby. That women's Springbok team that ran out last week had that really great win last week. Who's paying them? We're not paying them. Sorry has to cough up all this cash. Western Province Rugby Union went into administration or bankruptcy, whatever. Sorry had to bail them out. We've gone to go play URC rugby, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
We actually lost money in the first few years of doing that.
Then is this maybe mismanagement of funds? Because they are big sponsors. I mean,
of course they are.
For instance, in Cape Town, DHL. A massive license affairs are clearly behind the Box. There's big money back in them. I mean, surely
the overheads
can't run it at such a loss. I understand their overheads,
but the overheads are so large because all these unions are so amateurish. They aren't very financially sound themselves. So Sorry has to keep coming in. It's like Gary Player and his kids.
That's a good analogy.
Gary Player, lots of money. Kids, disasters. And that's kind of how SA Rugby's been run. So now, to carry on with Gary. So when Gary goes and wins a major tournament, and everyone goes, wow, that's way too much money. It's like, bitch, please. That's a trickle down so far. So now when the Springboks play their handful of matches at home where they can make the money, that money has got to go everywhere.
Question then, right? But why is there such a big discrepancy between when they played here at Loftus, right? No one was complaining about ticket prices and people showed out in numbers and we've been showing them. But it goes to Cape Town and Chigi Chigi is 3 million. Why?
Yeah, well, economies of scale. There's different sort of markets
but
there.
But can you see why people are crying? If I come to Joyburg from Cape Town, I pay half the price. But Cape Town, what is it about Cape Town?
Paying for accommodation in Broncos practice is a hell of a lot cheaper than it is in Cape
Town. But this is the thing.
The costs are inherently higher.
But this is the thing about economics.
One night's rent in a hotel room in Cape Town is 3 months' salary for someone from Pretoria. So that's part of it.
A lot of people are allergic to economics in this country because all of this leftist bullshit that Beanie Guy and the rest of them are pushing out
and
there.
And Praveen, who died. They don't understand economics.
It's not real life, guys. Supply, demand, all these kind of things happening. So let's not moan about what we don't have. Let's moan about what we can be a part of. And then these people say to me online, but I also want to be part of this experience. Then go watch with your friends on a TV. Like for me, the Bok experience, okay, I went to Ellis Park. I was lucky enough to get invited, and I had a really fucking and you love
really
it.
Great seats as well. But
I tell you what, the Bock experience for me is lived every single day. I watch the game. I talk to about the game with my mates. A petrol attendant will give me a fist bump on a Monday because of the Bocker. The Bocker are amazing because that is our life, okay? But now if we have 10 rand a ticket bullshit, suddenly they go into the red, they don't make any money, then they don't have the ability to retain coaches. Then now we're suddenly fifth and sixth, and everyone's going, oh, you guys are a bunch of losers. Why are you so shit?
And then nobody
wants to watch it.
Right.
Nobody appreciates that nice things cost a bit of money. And if you want to be a brand, which the Springboks are, have those players give a shit and all that kind of stuff and have a cry and chasing the sun and aeroplanes.
It's basically, this is just, again, communists.
Ruin everything.
Communists screw up everything that is good on planet Earth. And we've got to stop listening to them. I mean, I don't know why anyone is. How many more times must they get it wrong? How many more people have to be buried for these communists to just change their opinion?
It's terrible parenting.
Yeah, it's bad parenting. That's what it is.
They're growing up listening to Beanie Guy and Julius and all these other people because they don't have like dads or moms or uncles
they never
or
got
friends.
A cup.
Because it hurts.
They need to go Murabur. Exactly. Then that'll sort them out.
It hurts. It hurts my mind when like this. We must appreciate what this are and actually have faith in the fact that SARU, again, they do so much for rugby. Let them try and make some money. They're not going, ha-ha, we're going to rinse these guys today.
Yeah.
And we're only going to go, because this also comes down to, we're only going to go for rich white people. No, that's not how SARU works. They don't go, our support base must be rich white people. Our support base is what it is. It's the most diverse sporting code in the whole country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you don't choose your audience. Your audience chooses you.
Their whole role is to create an amazing product. And people keep telling me, oh, but it's not a business. It is a fucking business. And
they go,
oh, it's a national what. It's not. Trust me, everything's a business first.
I want to change the subject quickly before we wrap up for this hour. I have seldom felt sorry for someone that I don't know.
Okay.
That I've never met. But I want you to watch this video of Taylor Swift and Travis, her boyfriend, at the US Open. I want you to see this. I feel so sorry for this man. He clearly, I mean, he must love her, which is beautiful and amazing. And that's why
he doesn't.
No, well, I don't know. Maybe he loves her. Okay.
I can say it on my chest. No, he doesn't.
All right. He's at the.
Thank you for speaking on behalf of all of us.
He's at the US Open with her. And she is so annoying. And you can see, like, the guy's embarrassed, but he's with Taylor Swift, and he knows what happens if you break up with her. You end up in a song, and he's trapped. Like, this is a Stockholm Syndrome situation. Just look at this quickly. This poor man, I don't know what to do. Look. The kind of happy he is.
What's wrong with her?
Yeah, he's got Azerbaijani with him.
Yeah.
I think I pulled it off. I think the stars is just to disguise who he really is.
I don't know if you could hear us while that was playing, but like the questions were, what is going on with that moustache? Why is he wearing that hat? What's wrong with Taylor Swift?
She's the problem. She is the problem. And the reason why I can confidently say that he does not love her is because they break up contract was leaked on social media.
Oh, really?
Or when they're supposedly going to break up.
Oh, really?
So this is just a publicity relationship. And also people have been doing, so remember once upon a time I told you about the black wife effect where it was interracial couples and like the white guys were coming out to say, hey, this is how I looked like before I met my wife. And then this is how I look like now after meeting my wife, who so happens to be black, and they've got an upgrade.
Okay. Do you think he got an upgrade from Taylor?
No. So people are saying his ex-girlfriend was a black chick.
Oh-ho.
They going through all the pictures of when they were together, and he looked on point. He was sexy. We're all like, oh, yes.
So you know? Taylor's dragged him down.
And now with Taylor, what's up with that thing? Like, look at that massage. Nobody wants him. Nobody's like, yes, daddy. Like, it was just like, woo.
I feel sorry. Look, he doesn't want to. Look, he doesn't want to be doing that. There are a million places he'd rather be. He's a football player.
The thing is, she's also so much more of a personality in terms of she's got such a big network. I mean, he's a famous guy already, as it is. And she's just out of this world. So, I mean, it's quite an intimidating relationship to be in.
Yeah.
And I feel at the same time, you sort of...
I think it must be exhausting.
Yeah, you got to keep up appearances. You got to...
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to act.
I feel sorry for him. That's all I can say.
So can I just allude back to when the Proteas were at their best?
Mm.
They were dating swimsuit models.
Yes.
It was almost like it was a concerted PR effort.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you guys can't get hot chicks. Of course sure. You do. That was back in that time, sports stars were the only guys getting those kind of girls. And I get correct. That. But I also think that, this is going to sound horrible and personal, but this happens in sport. It just happens because all of them are on trajectories, right?
Yeah.
And how do you amplify those kind of things with certain hookups, PR opportunities, what events you go to?
Yes.
Look.
So he's a social climber.
They all are. Goes back to this thing about everyone's got an ambition, everyone's got a career. We just execute it differently.
Congo Chris calls it the basic Becky effect. He looks like she only lets him drink in his man cave. Probably, right?
I don't know if he has a man cave anymore.
Look, he looks so sad.
He's sad. That's a very unhappy person. Help.
Because some guys actually like that, yeah?
Mm.
There's also that. I mean, look, it's so easy just to pile on Taylor Swift because she's like a Dan Corder. I don't think she's a real person. I think she's a character.
Can I just also point out, why all the Gucci branding?
He's
I mean, he's got...
dressed
got,
up.
Yeah, he's got
he's
this... She told like, him what to wear, right?
Yes, she's horrible like that. She's just...
I don't know if any straight man can wear a mustache like that.
Like, no. You know what I mean?
She looks like really? He's going to sing YMCA after.
Oh, my
gosh.
But I do appreciate the Gucci bucket hat. So she's at least given him that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look cool.
I think he got that from his last girlfriend.
Yeah, zoom into the eyes. Like, you know what I look mean? At this. Bushveld Butt says, zoom into the eyes. They scream, help. Yeah. Shame.
You know what it's giving? J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
Yes, J-Lo, Ben Affleck. Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's what it's given
have
right
you got
now.
That J-Lo, Ben Affleck picture?
Throughout the relationship, he looked so sad. Yeah. And now that they're getting a divorce, now he's smiling. He's shaved his mustache.
But guys,
he looks so happy.
He did it twice.
Yeah, I know. He went back to her twice.
Some guys like it.
What, abuse?
Yes. Yes. Look, it's not us.
I mean, we've all been there. We've all gone back to the forbidden fruit.
I haven't. Like, the abuse happens, I'm out.
I don't want abuse either.
No. And if J-Lo...
I haven't been abused, no.
J-Lo looks like the type of woman who would hit Ben if he got out of line, right?
Yes.
She does. She looks like that. She takes no nonsense. You don't have to be a massive J-Lo fan, but I think that she looks like someone who's got her shit together. She knows what she wants. She's in charge. And you remember that picture like Ben Affleck just with a cigarette, standing, his shoulders all hunched, just looking sad and unhappy. And that was in the middle of his first relationship with her. Then he went back.
Yes.
I think he kind of deserves it then. But show that picture quickly.
Yeah.
This is from a news story.
So there's a lot of nuance in relationships here. And I think when there's mileage in relationships too, there's a different sort of thing. I mean, as we pointed out, Dill's my child, so he's only 17.
Yeah.
Some people are also very young. And Gareth, you don't actually care for making many compromises in life.
No.
If we had a call in the comments, you, I think, are our oldest, most married person. Some guys also get to a point where it's like, fuck, this is it, huh? This is all I got. So Ben Affleck looks around, and sure, he can hang out with all these OnlyFans chicks, and they'll probably give him a hand job here and there.
Mm.
But maybe he thinks that... because nothing's real in his life. Maybe he thinks that this is the relationship, the real thing.
Well, also, you know, I suppose in Hollywood, there's pressure that you have to date someone who's higher than you on the social scale so that you can get some credit. It's some clout.
That goes back to like old medieval class systems. Yeah,
of course. So here's a story. I hate this headline because it's from The Blast. It says, Jennifer Lopez shows Ben Affleck what he's missing as she sizzles in a revealing gown at some event. And I'm like... I'm pretty sure he knows what he's missing. He's been there twice already. And I don't think he's thinking about her and going, well, in that outfit, I wish I hadn't broken up with her.
Well, I can tell you, Favor Adegoku over there, probably pink hair, probably on a diet of caffeine and cortisol.
Oh, you mean the author of the article? Yeah. Favor Adegoku. I guarantee you that's like, yeah, that's that. Whoever wrote this article. There we go. Look,
he looks so miserable.
Look at him. I mean, guys, you know, have some self-respect. It's not these women's fault. I don't blame them.
I'm trying to.
It's these guys. They're weak men.
Yeah,
they're weak men.
But also, guys, sometimes you just want to be with someone, and maybe that's where he is.
Oh, well,
maybe Matt Damon no longer is his friend.
We all get what we deserve, says Percy. Yes. I think that's exactly right.
So right, Percy.
All right, that's a good note to end the first hour on. Ben, thank you for the sport. You're going to hang around with us a little longer. Bill, thanks for popping by.
I do have to go relatively early today.
Well, then just fuck off now.
No.
Yeah. Bye, Ben.
It was nice knowing you. Go on. See bye,
Ben. Bye, Bill. We start talking replacements, right. Then it's like, go fuck off.
No. We'll see you on Monday's show in Bulgaria. So hang around for that.
Yeah, sorry. It's just like, I've got to do some work stuff.
Oh, who cares? Like, the people lost interest in the reason. Just go.
Bye.
All right, that's a wrap on the first hour. Cheers, everybody. We'll see you just now.